connected to CNN Network.
W8FU. Good morning. K8RUH. Yes, good morning. Are we conditioned anything this morning?
Not that I'm aware of. I've had the radio on for 10, 15 minutes, and I haven't heard a thing, so... You were the first person I heard.
Okay, well, I'd like to report some rotation at Whitcomb and DeQuinner. My tires are rotating towards work.
You know, I was listening and thinking, where is he going with this? And that's a good one. That is quite the dad joke, if I could say so myself.
There you go. So how long is this supposed to last? I've got a babysit, I think, tomorrow. I'll have to check my calendar. This Friday or next, but so I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. I think just my granddaughter. I think my grandson's got plans with his buddies. They're kind of gamers. So they love nothing more than mom and dad taking off and having to go hang with their buds and the Xbox or whatever the hell it is they run.
Sounds like you need to go to the pool with your granddaughter then. It's supposed to be warm again tomorrow, but I think the humidity's supposed to drop this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see. Got to figure out something. You know, she's got her friends, and I can let her run next door and play with her little friend. But maybe we'll go see if we can get Grandma involved. Do a little running around. I don't know. Play it by ear. You can always get ice cream, right?
That's right. Are they in the farms or in the park?
The park.
Okay, yeah, I know that the farm's pool is under construction, and some of the, half the summer, the people get access to the woods park, and half the summer they get access to the farm, or, I'm sorry, the parks park. So, I was wondering if they were in, if they were in the farms, maybe you were, could end up at my pool.
Ah, okay. Well, that's nice. Little neighborly sharing of the pool. You know, that was one of the things when the kids were looking for a place. They wanted someplace that was walkable. That was a big deal for them. And then the fact that they had the park and the pool and all that stuff available was kind of a big factor. You know, they were looking at several locations that checked some of the boxes, but they kept running back down there. That was the area that kept checking all the boxes.
Yeah, it is a unique community at this point. So, but to change topics real quick, I just drove past that Sheetz at, 12 and DeQuinder, and it looks like they have all the brick up, which is pretty wild how fast this place is going up.
Oh, yeah. They cruise, man. I don't know how many they're building at any given time. I know they're building one at Gratiot in 59, and that one seems to be about the same point as that one there. And then I guess they're doing one up at 22 in Van Dyke or somewhere up that way. And there's probably some others. But, so, you know, I think they bring their crews in and, you know, there's an economy of scale. It's, I know when they're doing road projects, a lot of times, you know, you go, well, why do they, you know, have, you know, all this, you know, knocked out at the same time, you know, it'd be better. Well, there's a certain economy of scale. They got all their trucks down in the area. It's a, you know, they can give you quite a discount to do the road one over while they're there.
Yeah, that would absolutely make sense. I can see why you'd do that. And I would imagine they do something similar with their crews to build these sheets. Because they are all, the few that I've been in, they're the exact same layout. So they probably just knock these things out, and everything's exactly the same with a little bit different merchandising, I bet.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes. I wonder if they even have any variation in their product line. So I think their whole motif is sameness. You know, they say that's what makes McDonald's so successful, is that no matter where you go, you can always get something you're familiar with. And which doesn't work for a guy like me, because I like change, different, you know, unique, like the experiment.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but there is some comfort in knowing exactly what you're going to get no matter where you are.
Yeah, I think, most fast food places are like that, but I think that comment was made about McDonald's coffee, you know, because I don't find it to be all that good, but it's consistent, right? No matter where you go, you can always get that same exact cup of coffee. So if you acclimate to it, you know, it's a sure thing. You're on the road, you need a cup of coffee. No gambles. You know what you're getting when you see the Golden Arches. Ah, well. It's kind of why I go to Starbucks. I just know what I'm getting. I can get my stronger stuff there.
Yeah, I go back and forth on Starbucks. I usually like the coffee. Sometimes I would rather not get my morning politics with a side of coffee from Starbucks, though. So it sometimes it's a little annoying, but it's usually a good cup of coffee. But, you know, the way I drink my coffee is just black coffee. So sometimes it's just, like, frustrating. It's expensive. And I can just make it at home. So I don't go often. It's usually, you know, once a week, once every other week, just get it done when I can.
Yeah, I just haven't found a really strong coffee. You know, Big B's, I can do Big B's because I can get a espresso-based drink there. But I don't like the flavor of their espresso quite as good as quite as much as I like Starbucks. Surprisingly, Tim Hortons has a dark roast that I can tolerate that pretty well. It's a pretty good cup. I don't think I ever experienced politics at unless you consider LGBTQ or whatever existence to be politics, but I've never really noticed any politics out of Starbucks, personally.
Yeah, it can just be an interesting place. Hey, I'm going to pump some gas. I'll be back in a second. K-E-A-R-U-H.
All righty. I'll be plugging along. W-A-W.
All right, gas done. On my way to stop number 2, driving across the parking lot to go to Home Depot.
Oh, you're got alternative plans this morning?
No, I am just trying to knock a few stops out this morning so that I don't have to make them at lunchtime or on the way home. It's a lot easier to get around with light traffic at 6:30 in the morning than it is in the afternoon.
Well, I hear you there. I do like getting up earlier. Things are quieter and you can get a lot more done. I sound like an old man, don't I?
That's all right. I always tell people I've been this old since I was 20 years old. Been a cranky old man since then.
Uh-huh, there you go. Oh, man, I got a gutter, a small gutter. I got a little reverse gable foyer in the front of my house. So there's a short little piece of gutter that runs along the edge of that reverse gable part that juts out. And I looked this morning, and it's like hanging off the house. I'm like, what the hell happened there? So I think that all that rain we had the other day somehow knocked it off. So I'm going to have to get up there tonight or the weekend for sure. And I got a plumbing project in the basement this weekend. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I got stuff to do.
I hear you. I'm going in here. I got to get a shop vac filter because mine went bad, and then I'm painting the bathroom this weekend, so need that filter and all the fun. All right, I'll be back again in a few minutes. K8RUH.
All righty, we shall catch you then. W8FU.
And I'm back, if you're still out there. K8RUH.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGS. Monitoring. KF8FGS.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGS monitoring.
KCAKJO, good morning, Dave.
KCAKJO, good morning. Good morning. Where are you off to today?
4 days, and then wherever from there.
Yeah, roger that. I worked in my career for a company called Shambaugh, and we had I was in the Detroit branch. I was started as a foreman and then estimator, project manager, and what have you. And we had a branch out there in Portage. It was a data branch of Havel Corporation, the KZU and Portage and that region over there. I don't know if you ever heard of Havel, but apparently they're pretty big in networking and as well as all the mechanical trades.
If I saw the logo, I'd probably recognize it. Yeah, I gotta go over to some type of salons or something like that. They got some issues on doors. We will see. And then we'll pick it up from there, see where else she wants to send us.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, roger that. I used to, when I was doing a lot of traveling,
and that type of service work. Of course, mine was plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, you know, boilers and filters and stuff in like the JCPenney stores and some of the shops and malls and different things like that, and as well as data centers and server rooms and things like that, you know, for the HVAC. But I used to like having, I had a pretty good relationship with, a working relationship with the dispatchers, because I always asked to send me to the farthest job from home first, and then I would work my way back toward home so that I would actually get home at a reasonable hour and have the drive home on their nickel. We were always responsible for our first 50 miles or first hour. But if I had to be in Portage, I would leave at 6 in the morning so I could get there, you know, reasonable hour. I have 8 FGS. Back to you, Cujo.
Yep, my partner and I, we do the same thing. Send us the furthest out, and then we work our way back. Just load up our page, and then we'll figure it out from there. And that's how we do it. I mean, we only got right now is this one in Portage, but being out that way, she'll find stuff for us to do, which is not a problem. That's why we do West Side on Tuesdays and Thursdays, get all the stuff done, and then we can catch up in Detroit when we come back.
Yeah, Roger that. Did you get caught up in any of that severe weather that came through? Last night, I know it was pretty much, it was to the south of me. I'm in Utica, so it was to the south of me, you know, going through Troy and Warren, and I understand they had the possibility of big hail and stuff. Did you encounter any of that last night?
Not really. Up in Memphis, I mean, we just had some rain, and that was it. Woke up, and the truck was washed.
Yeah, I guess Memphis was pretty quite a ways out of the quite a ways out of that danger zone, you know, that severe weather zone. Well, I'm just a couple miles north of Troy, and you know, depending and the wind was coming this way, so I went ahead and you know put the truck in the carport and you know got the garage and the house in the car in the garage, and you know I did disconnect my my fan dipole. I left my 2-meter antenna hooked up so I could listen to Skywarn. I participated a little bit with that, but I got that ICOM 7300. I didn't want I disconnected Echo X outside. Definitely did not want to. It's one thing to take a chance on my Anytone, but I don't want to take a chance on that ICOM. KF8 FGS back to you.
Yeah, I might lose you here in a minute or for the sake of it. Maybe I'm going to turn on now.
Well, then I'll say 73, and you'll just have to do some repeater hopping today. You have a good day. Drive carefully. Watch out for the bozos, and we'll talk soon. KF8 FTS, be clear on your final.
Stay dry out there. Stay safe on the road. And we'll catch you later. 73. Good to catch you.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WAPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I'm testing you here, Connor, and you're going to see what I want to do.
KE8WOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WHBD Richmond.
APR.
What's up?
WHBD.
Well, your audio is very low. Just talking something. How about now? Any better?
Yeah, a little bit. Sounds like you're awake now.
Yeah. Analog up here in Richmond, heading towards Lapeer for a project.
All right, I'm just heading to work and playing around with, I got this, CS800 and I'm playing around with it. It's got something really weird with the scan function. I got to call him back again and see what's going on with that.
Yeah, I got the same thing with the Tate radio, but it's kind of like the nature of the beast. It does all sorts of strange things, and I never bothered to sit down and figure it out. Lately, I've been playing with a duplexer, trying to figure out how to tune a duplexer with a nano. DNA.
I wouldn't trust that. Give it to me, I'll tune it. I got the, spectrum analyzer with the tracking generator.
Okay. Well, we got a couple of them. Sean's got one. I got one. I kind of like to see you do it, not because, let's put it this way, for the educational value.
Yeah, no problem. Bring it over. What kind is it? One of those mobile duplexers?
A telewave. They're full size, four cavities, big ones, 5-inch diameter, probably about 2 foot tall. Times there's four of them bolted together.
Okay, you said they're 2 feet tall. Is it VHF?
VHF.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would say that size of hips. No problem. You want to bring them over someday? I'm glad to sit down and go over with you.
I might do that. Because, the nano, I got it. It's the nano, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it gets it close. And I know when you're dealing with a 0.6 spread, 600 kilohertz spread, close isn't good enough. So, but I'm trying to learn. You know, I know that the big knob controls the path. They call it band path. What it allows to go through. You want to get that near zero. And I know the other little screw controls the notch. Well, when I turn the notch, nothing happens. And I don't want to turn it too far, you know, because I don't want to break anything. These things are crazy money. So, you know, but it just doesn't seem like the notch will move. The bandpass thing, that moves pretty easy.
Yeah, are these separate cavities connected with cables together, or that can be disconnected individually?
Yeah, I'm just working on one can out of the four. You're supposed to get all four of them close and then tune them as a pair or as a set.
Yes, and they're a lot easier that way, too. Yeah, no problem. Hold on, I got to run and drop some off the UPS here. I'll be back in a moment. Okay, Pierre.
WADD.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, very good. My travels are taking me to Lapeer. I think this sales call is a waste of time. But my partner listened to one of our salesmen, and he doesn't think it's a waste of time. So I said, fine, I'll spend 3 hours driving to go find out it's a waste of time. But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But I doubt it.
Well, it sounds like my son was in alternative financing for commercial properties, and when he first started in this position, and the guy hired him. Oh my goodness, what's going on here? They're moving a house. There's a house going down the road, taking two lanes. Hold on, I gotta deal with this.
Hey, Victor Delta.
Okay, yeah. It's a full-size mobile home going. You see those, they're like split in half. This is a full-size, literally taking up two lanes on Square Lake Road. Wow, I've never seen that before.
Sounds exciting.
Okay, so, I was saying about my son came in, and these salespeople were just going out getting loan, you know, writing all this business, you know, blah, 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 and of course everything had to be approved, and they were just basically throwing anything on the wall to see what sticks, and, you know, like I said, they were selling anything, and, my son came in there and said, this stops now. Says, you got to get it. Says, you bring us a perspective, we'll check out, see if they're even viable before you go selling it. And, you know, and so sales dropped to like zero for a while. And, but then they started just bringing in solid deals.
Yeah, that's my gut feeling. That's what this one is. This one isn't very solid. It's probably not financeable, you know. It's in an old, empty, abandoned building. And the guys, so I will be shocked if this thing materializes to anything. But nonetheless, I would have rather stayed home and played around with my Nano VNA.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how you do that with a Nano VNA. Does it have a built-in tracking generator, or what?
I don't know, but there's a zillion Google write-ups on it. There's a lot of... There's a lot of... Oh, good God, why are you sending me down a gravel road? I ain't going down that one. There's a lot of write-ups on it and AI, Gemini, you know, things of that nature. and they're all saying it works just fine. So, and the other thing is, you know, it might not be, I'm sure it's nowhere near as accurate as what you've got, but, you know, I'm learning a lot of things with it. So, you know, I'm learning the path, you know, 0 dB. I'm learning the notch should be, you know, 50 to 60 separation. 35 is supposed to be good enough, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm learning a lot of things that I didn't know. So that's another concept, you know, that I'm happy with.
Yeah, I'd like to. I've never really done a VHF one. That'd be interesting. I mean, everything I've done is UHF, you know, 5 meg splits. And, you know, cutting those down and getting them in pretty good. I mean, done a few number of those. So, playing with a VHF could be fun. Learning experience.
Yeah, and it's not like we're taking them out of their capacity. These are actually pretty good ones. They do 0.6 isolation or separation. They do handle up to like 250 watts, and what else? Well, there's another good spec on them. 250, 0.6, and there's another good spec. Oh, 136 to 174. I got to get this. I'll be right back. WB.
All right, very good. Okay, Pierre, stand by.
W8RJD.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD Mobile. W8RJD Mobile.
W8RJD Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
NA3DS testing.
Connected to CMN Network.
My microphone's hot. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Did your microphone cool off so you can hold it now? WARCY, good afternoon.
Yeah, it's not too bad now. I hate this. You get in the car, it's a hot box. It takes a while for the air to get working. Everything's hot to the touch, steering wheel, microphone.
Yeah, it's definitely hot out there, and I mean, it came on quick. I had the windows open for a little bit this morning, and they didn't stay open long, and by 10 o'clock, I was running the air. You could already feel the humidity in the air, so, yeah, it is what it is, but I'm just watching these storms that are supposedly coming, and, you know, I mean, my phone, I'm so sick and tired of every time I turn around between the National Weather Service, actually the Weather Channel, and Fox 2, my phone was just pinging every, like, 15, 20 seconds with an update to the weather yesterday afternoon into the evening.
Well, you just listen to the Mecca, and you'll get all the news that fits for the weather. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I should. And I, you know, I need to discipline myself more on that than anything else. But I also just need to go in there and shut these alerts off as well. Fortunately, I'm not even getting, you know, things like, you know, tornado siren alerts and that kind of stuff when it gets really, really bad. But, you bring up a valid point. I should, since I'm a radio geek. Shame on me.
Well, I was half joking, but seriously, though, they usually quiet down and just report the absolute most important information while the storm is in. But if you want to know what's coming, or at least have somebody's wild-ass guess at what's coming, then you need other sources. But usually anything that the National Weather Service puts out there, if it's going to affect us, we'll get out there on... Well, usually it has to be upon us before they're going to light up. So if you want to... I guess you just got to tame down those alerts. Oh, man! I thought I was going to be dragging butt today. Instead, I was tapping my toes, and the day flew by.
Well, you didn't have to do any, what was it, early afternoon meetings halfway across the state and then try to drive home like you did last night. You know, that's why the day probably just flew by for you. I mean, at this time yesterday, you were just coming out of Lansing, I think, if I remember correctly, or somewhere close to that, and dealing with the storms, traffic, accidents, construction, you name it. So today was like, you know, a walk in the park, so to speak. A little too hot for that, but, yeah. Much better for sure.
Yeah, yesterday was a drag, and then I stayed up too late. I don't ever usually stay up past midnight, and also I looked up the clock and went, holy cow, how the hell that happened? So I shut everything down real quick, went to bed. Then I got woke up, I had my window open, and I got woke up by just a permeating skunk smell. It's like, oh, man, I don't know what the hell that skunk got into, but it wasn't terribly far from my house, enough to make it kind of rancid. So I said, that woke me up, shut the window, close everything down. Then I had nightmares that I smelled like a skunk all day. I don't know if they call it nightmare, but I had a dream, and now I'm not so sure if it was any of it was true. Could have been just a cat, you know, messing with me and pulling me in and out of REM.
How is the acclimating going on with the new new edition? And I take it he fared well with his little snip-snip?
Yeah, he's no worse for wear. He's, full of piss and vinegar and doing great. Yeah, he's doing good. He's out in the main part of the house now. He's learned kind of where he can and can't go. He's frequently out with us. He's got a spot kind of up high that's kind of cushioned that he's claimed where he can kind of get up. He's just a couple foot from Mama and a couple more feet from me. He can see the dog and puts him in the center of everything without being down where he's worried about the dog. think he's kind of learning the dog has is vertically challenged. Can't do up or down very well. So, and he's learning that. He's getting more brave. Now I catch him loafing around by the door wall, looking outside, which is clearly in the dog zone, but he doesn't seem to care. And I even caught him the other day on his new perch out in the main room. He was kind of like, he had his butt up in the air, wiggling it a little bit, looking at the dog, jumped down, kind of like wanting to challenge the dog a little bit to a play date. I was like, oh, what's this? So I think he's acclimating.
That's good. Glad to hear it. You know, been around, what, almost 2 weeks now? And definitely, that sounds really, really good. Some normal feedback in the household there for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm real close to being able to put his litter box on the landing by the going downstairs, which is where we've always had it for our cats. Right now it's in my room. I keep on top of it so it doesn't smell, but it's a pain in the rump. And so that'll be the first thing, get that out of there. And then once he gets back, let me into the back. And I've been starting to feed him in the kitchen. So get him acclimated to that. That's where we fed the cats, right at the top of the stairs going to the basement. So I think he's just about there. So it's all good. My son wants me to take two. There is some, as crazy as it sounds, there is some logic to that, but I don't know. I think one is more than enough.
W-A-R-C-Y. Got distracted for a second. Sorry about that. Yeah, but you're, you know, I think if you brought in a second cat, isn't your dog a little bit, you know, towards the senior side of its time, and that might be a little overwhelming, two against one?
Yeah, the dog just turned 11, which is not real old for his breed, but it's, you know, but he's senior, he's up there. I'd say he's over the hill, but he's not necessarily, well, let's see. I don't know, I think his breed's 14 to 16, pretty typical. Yeah, I guess that puts him up there.
I've never been around cats and dogs in the same household. It was either just, well, for us in my family growing up, it was only dogs, but in my ex-wife's side of the family, there were cats and dogs together, and Joe's only had dogs, but German Shepherds and Golden Retrievers, but no cats, so I don't know I have no knowledge or clue of how those kind of relationships work. It's one, as new little ones come in and older ones age on, so I don't know the interaction on that. That's why I just guessed, like I said, the two against one thing, but, you know, you seem to have a lot of experience with it, and yeah, I can probably guess you'll make the right decisions for taking on a second one or not.
K8WOJ.
And there's Rick with the answer of the day. But, yeah, my wife won't allow me to have two. I think I'd be inclined to do it, but I don't think she didn't want one. But she's already kind of changing her attitude on that. So who knows? But anyhow, Rick, how are you? Enjoying the heat?
Yes, sir. Just sitting in the shade here listening to you guys and trying to stay in the breeze. at least it's, they were predicting 91 today, so I'm glad it's not reaching that anyway. And I just wanted to say I got a close friend that's had cats and dogs, and it was kind of funny. I'd be up there, and they had two dogs, a black lab, and a German short-haired pointer. Yeah. That cat used to sneak out while the dogs were busy and bite one of them right in the ass. take off running, and he'd climb up his, had one of those cat poles there with different levels on it. He'd get up there at the top, and them dogs couldn't get at him. It was funny. They used to get along pretty good.
Well, like I said, I've never been around cats and dogs together in the same household in my family's time, so I don't know those histories. But I know a lot about, especially golden retrievers. Now that my sister has had them, my girlfriend's parents had a bunch of them. And now my girlfriend's got one, and being around newborn golden retriever puppies, oh my gosh, you know, you just want to, first of all, you just want to bring them all home and watch them just, you know, tumble and fall over each other like, you know, they have no balance or, you know, dexterity about them at all. And they're just fun to watch. And if they would only stay that little, I'd take them all home with me. But they don't. So, yeah, that's the thing about me with dogs. Sean?
Our record is three dogs and two cats, and we never had small dogs. We always had big dogs. And, but now I'm down to one cat and one small dog. I personally never had a small dog before this one. Now, when I lived with my folks, before I left there, they had a cockapoo or something, and so he was smaller, but. We've always had, and the smallest dogs we had were setters and Dobermans. So, but three of them, two Dobermans, a Mastiff, and two cats. And cats always seem to find us, one way or the other. And, you know, and I brought them in all different. You know, I brought in the dogs when we had cats, and I brought in the cats when we had dogs, and. Bringing the dogs into a cat house seems to be a little easier than bringing a cat into a dog house. Because the cats are kind of squirrely and the dogs are, you know, just dumb and they just come running up, you know, play, you know, and the cat freaks out and you got that whole goofball thing going on for a while. If you bring the puppies in with the cats, they kind of, you know, let's play, and the cat just says, get out of here, smacks them and they kind of like, you know, learn real quick. But they've all adjusted. No matter, I brought them in at all different ages, and, you know, cats before dogs before cats, and they've always adjusted. Just takes a little time for everybody to feel out the situation. Rick?
Yep, you are absolutely right. We had, growing up there, we had that 20 acres in between Lakeville and Leonard there, and we had six cats in the house, and we ended up with two dogs, all of them strays, you know, all the cats, and one dog, and the other dog was a neighbor's dog, but he decided he liked it with us better than the neighbor, so he moved in with us. Anyway, the dogs stayed in the garage, and they kind of patrolled the property there, and the cats were in and out of the house and all over the place, but they all got along pretty good. It was kind of nice. At dinner time, they were all wandering the fields there, and my mom figured when it was dinner time, she'd get one of them china plates out, or a bowl and a spoon, and start banging it at the outside the door, and they'd hear that and come running. It was kind of fun. But six of them was kind of a chore, but we had a good size ranch that they spread out in. KKWOJ.
I'm going to be skipping. I got a phone call from my sister. I'll catch up with you guys later. W8RCY.
All righty. We'll be here for a few. Have to take an alternate route. Everything's jacked up today. My normal route home, I'm 16 miles all jacked up. So I have to take Van Dyke, and now it's telling me there's another detour coming up. And like everywhere I go, there's problems. See if I can run this all the way down that 12-mile road. That way I don't have to... Oh, no, wait a minute. I want to do 13-mile. Because I got to stop at the pharmacy for my wife. Ah, well. Yeah, the... And they know dinner time, that's for sure. And I like having them around. The cats are in their keep. They keep the critters out of the house. I got an old bungalow, and you know, it's made out of wood, and the mice can get in if they want to, just about any way. And they have bigger things. I've had squirrels get in, birds. Of course, that's, I think, chimney. Chimney. But mice, I've been real lucky, knock on wood. So I didn't want to go too long without a cat. Good cat in there, keep that a no-show.
Yeah, cats seem to be the other way around. They would find chipmunks and mice and stuff out in the field. And they bring them home as a gift kind of thing. Bring them in the house and let them go. I got back from, I can't remember, school, I guess, high school. Got back from high school and stepped in the door, and my mom and sister were screaming. I thought some guy was in there attacking them. And the cat brought home, I can't remember what it was, a mouse or a chipmunk or something. It was going all over the place. So I grabbed a toilet plunger, and I started to step in the door, and I saw a streak go by my feet, and I slammed it down and got him right in the plunger. They were funny. They were always bringing something home.
Well, we're going to try to keep this one indoors. And we've had both. We've had indoor cats and we've had indoor outdoor cats. The ones that, most of the ones we've adopted were feral outdoor cats that, you know, that remained outdoor cats. It's really hard to break that when they, you know, it's all they know. I mean, I suppose you could, but we didn't find it to be something reasonable. But, you know, this guy's, you know, never known the outdoors, so shouldn't be hard to keep an indoor cat.
Nope, that's right. If that's all they've known was the indoors, they get at the sliding glass door there, and they watch all day, birds going by and all that kind of stuff. They kind of like to get out, they think. One of them did get out once, and once he got outside, it was like, what? He just freaked out, like, what do I do now? It's too big out here. Where do I go? What do I do? So he just stood there frozen until I grabbed him.
Yeah, we had that happen with one of our indoor cats. I remember it well. They were in shock. Brought them back inside. But they just learn little by little, little further every day. So I wouldn't mind another Doberman. That's my real. If I could have my way, I'd have a Doberman right now. But my wife said absolutely not to that. I haven't found a way to convince her. I'm hoping one comes into the animal control. So it's like, what am I supposed to do? I gotta rescue them. So, but anyhow, I think that would be a little bit much on my little guy. He's 11, like, he's cranky. So I don't necessarily want to do that while he's that would be the last straw. The cat, he'll probably warm up to the cat. Well, I hope he will. Never really warmed up to our last one. They would cohabitate space, but he's always a little jerk. W8FU.
Well, maybe he's a little older, like the rest of us. The older we get, the easier and more laid back we get. Hopefully, anyway. So, what did you name the kitten?
I did. My son suggested two names I can't stand. And I always name my cats people names. I had Frank, Lucy, Tina, Sherman. You know, just that's how I name my guests, and they usually, their personality usually dictates what name I give them after a short time. The only ones I've had with, you know, stupid names like Pebbles, or that was the one we adopted that already had an established name, and what other ones we have? Frank, that was one we named. You know, yourself. So, first he said Snowball, and it's like, absolutely not. He was almost all white when he was born. He's got the patches now. So now he's a, what, a dirty Snowball? And then he said Ralphie. I guess Ralph, but I just, nah, it just doesn't fit. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't end up being Ralphie. He doesn't seem to answer anything yet. So I'm going to call him Fred.
Yeah, naming was always tough. The one I took in, he was outside at first. He had a litter, and all the litter disappeared, got eaten by fox, I guess, or coyotes or whatever. He was the only one smart enough to stay on the deck. And so anyway, everybody was like, how's the little guy doing? So it just kind of grew on him. I started calling him little guy. But like I said, when I took him in, and as he grew up and got a little bit older and his personality started showing through, he was tearing me up. he likes to fight, and he was tearing up my arm. So I started calling him Rambo. But actually, I got about six names for him: Goofball, Knothead, and a few of them that aren't good, that aren't fitting for radio.
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, yeah. He's this guy. He does that, too. I find that usually when he does that, it's because I haven't played with him enough. If I play with him and, you know, hit the little chase the mouse around thing and wear him down just a little here and there, then he tends to be pretty calm. He's real good. I mean, he'll lay belly up and he'll let me rub his belly without, you know, getting the claws going or anything like that. He never exposes his claws at all when he's kind of like rubbing on my arm. But he will put his teeth on my hand. Very, very light. You know, but he's got real sharp teeth, so, you know, you feel little pricks and that. And usually I'll just kind of go, you know, ow, you know, and that, and I'll leave, you know, I'll stop playing for a little while. Then I'll come back and give him a little bit more playtime with, like, the toys. You know, even if I give him a little time with the toys, then he doesn't try to take it out of my hands. He's pretty good. I just give him a good ow when he does the teeth on my hand so he doesn't get used to that.
Yeah, that's been kind of working for mine, too. I'll go, ow, and then he'll like, uh-oh. But it's been a rough road getting to that point, though, because I felt bad for him when he lost all his stupid brothers and sisters, and he felt rambunctious and, you know, wanted to get a little rowdy, and there was nobody to play with him. So I just let him, you know, tear up my arms a little bit. I figured, I'm a big boy, I get shaken. It's only for a little while, but it wasn't a little while. It just turned into a habit. So I had to work on kind of breaking the habit there. And now that he's bigger, the claws are bigger and sharper, and the teeth are, he does a lot more damage, so... I let him know once or twice. It's different when he's just feeling rambunctious, but every once in a while he gets, like, angry or something, and he's just, like, trying to hurt me kind of thing. But then I'll have to kind of show him that he's, you know, I usually only got one hand, so I usually trap him with both hands and kind of spin him around a little bit and show him that he's trapped, he can't go anywhere. He's got to give up kind of thing. And then he realizes, Jesus, guy's way bigger than I am.
Well, he's playing, you know, and he thinks, you know, that you're his buddy. And you are, but, you know, he doesn't know how to play any other way. So what I generally do is, you know, and it's easier with the little guy, and you know, that I got, because, you know, he loves it when I come play, and we play and all that, and then when he does that, he immediately, I go, ow, and I leave, and he learns that when he does that, playtime's over. So I'm hoping that he puts together the, you know, the when the teeth come out or the claws come out or something like that, playtime's over. So that's kind of what I've always, you know, learned, been told. The one thing this guy is doing that none of my other, I've never had a problem with cats tearing things up with their claws. And, you know, we get them scratch posts and things that they can do, but this guy seems to be, you know, letting the claws out, scratching all over the darn place. And I'm like, okay, what's up with that? So I'm keeping an eye on it. He is young.
Yeah, I got the old scratch post for mine, too, and he used it for a while. Sometimes I'd have to point it out to him. You know, oh, yeah, okay, this is, you know. And he used it, but he does kind of whatever he feels like scratching on kind of thing. Although he's not too bad. I got a buddy up north, and his kitchen table is all wood and wood legs and stuff, and the legs are just all ripped up. I shouldn't laugh, but... I mean, it's just a piece of furniture, you know what I mean? And it's taken them quite a few years to actually kind of tear it up. But, I mean, some people, that'd be worth killing them over kind of thing. But, I you know, luckily my buddy don't feel that way, and I don't feel that way either.
Yeah, like I said, I've never really had that problem. You know, they tend to scratch where we want them to, not where we don't. And, you know, this guy, I'm not so sure yet. You know, it's early. And I got this computer chair. I just bought it. It's got the real high back, goes up, touches my neck. Because I had a habit of kicking back on my chair, and I'd doze off, and then my neck would go way flinging back, and I'd wake up with this crick in my neck. I'm like, oh, man, you know, why'd I do that? And so I got the high back so that I can't do that. And but it's made out of this material that's really scratchy appeal. I'm like, come on, dude, I just bought this chair.
Yeah, mine does the same thing. I got all kind of back problems. So years ago, I bought one of them, you know, fancy high back with all the adjustments, a billion adjustments on it and all that stuff. And but it's got just like, I don't know what, nog hide or whatever kind of surface on it. And he decided that was a pretty good place to sharpen his claws at. So that took a little while. He'd get up there and start doing it, and I'd go, oh. You know, when he was a lot younger, kind of take my finger and kind of tap on his claws and pull him off of the chair kind of thing. He learned pretty quick. He don't do it anymore.
Yeah, it really just started, so I haven't had time to work on him at all. But, hey, I'm just pulling up here to the pharmacy. I got to pick up a script. I'll be back in a bit after yours for the interview.
Okay, don't get burned up out there.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KPR. WDKLL-KF8-DIC. KF8-DIC, clear. Clear.
currently connected to CMN Network.
KJO.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey Tom, NAWRO, you're getting close to home?
Yep, I should be home by about just after 1800 hours.
Perfect. If I'm not mistaken, I think Mike's got the net tonight.
Cool. I'll be able to check in. Of course, it'll be through my All-Star, but I should be there, as long as she doesn't have any cut grass. But you know Melissa, she's a...
Yeah, I kind of surprised myself. I actually sit that in the morning. It was reasonably cool this morning, you know, of course, before the heat of the day, and I knocked off the backyard and the front yard with the Cub Cadet. I normally don't like to do it, but if you didn't get it done, it's going to be hot for the next few days, so I'm happy I did it. It was already looking pretty shabby. NAWRO standing by.
Sorry about that, Tim.
Oh, I was just presuming a phone call or something.
Yeah, I might scanner go off. My coworker, who's up ahead of me, calling me on GMRS, and then we were talking about grass. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to cut it today or not. I might just cut it tomorrow night, because that'll be a little bit cooler and give it time to dry out. Because the last time I cut it, right after the rain, it just clogged up the lawnmower, and I don't feel like messing with that again.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that, and I was thinking that myself. I've done that several times. It's not fun. But I actually put the mulcher attachment, the plug, on the Cub Cadet, and I did it mulching. So if it gets any longer than what it was, that it just doesn't really work out with that. But I'm happy I did it, because it gets away from you. You know how that is. And then you get these hot days, and then later on you get rain days like you're talking. It's just always perpetually wet. And at one point you can just never get it done.
Well, yeah, as soon as I cut it, it's going to be, you know, it's all down in the root. I'll just let it get in there. It's thick enough that I can, you know, I have to cut it, but I'm not going to go crazy and beat myself up over 90-degree weather.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Tom, so I'm sure we're going to connect FBI again with the Mecca. So how do you check in now? You use the Richmond from your house?
I can try checking in to Warren through the hub or through Richmond on the Richmond link. See which way it goes better. Hopefully my All-Star note can fall from the wall again. Picked it up last night to get it away from the heat.
You must be going through an area. You got a little popcorn in your signal, but still readable. Yeah, I mean, you always got, well, hopefully you have the All-Star. You have the Hoyt phone. You could do the Hoyt phone, but I did the Richmond when I was going to on the D2 net last night. And that, of course, you know, it's connected by the All-Scan to the GM repeater, but they were really happy with the signal. But it should be, because it's directly connected to their repeater. So, but, yeah, we got options now, at least. I remember back when you and I first started, there wasn't a receiver on the Richmond for the 7.2, so we would have had to punch all the way down to Mount Clemens, and, you know, that didn't work very well.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit tough for me because I'm going into Richmond, and I'm 1.6 miles away from Miley Center, so getting closer. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't gone up stairs yet to hit Mount Clemens for a while, plus I took that radio down and put it in my Explorer. And I have another Yaesu FTM 150 that's coming back from the repair shop that I got from Dakota. So I'd have to put my Alinko back up there and put the Yaesu in my Explorer.
Alrighty. Well, sounds good. How about we go by the map, like north going north? Dave is working today, so Dave will not be checking in New Haven. So next will be me, and then you check in last, okay, up by the proverbial Boardman Road. How about that?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I don't mind being the last in the bottom of the bucket. No big deal. Makes it a lot easier. You check in, and then I'll check in last because I'm the furthest north. So, yeah, that works for me. That way I'm not stepping on anybody.
Yeah, that works this time because, like, Dave's not going to be checking in. I highly doubt Dean will check in. So you hear me going, you're next in line moving north, so it's got to be you. So that'll work. All right, Tom, sounds good. I'll cut you loose. I'll hear you on the net. N-A-W-R-O, after you.
Yep, works for me, sir. Talk to you on the net. 73 for now. C-C-H-K-J-O.
K-P-R.
This is N8WRO for W88MAC and K8FBI. We have joined the FBI network with W8AMAC 147.2 in Mount Clemens for the ARPSC net that will start at 7 p.m. tonight. The frequency is open, free for use until then. N8WRO clear. Mike, again, perfectly readable, but there is that little hum in the background. But your audio is perfect. Just a hum, but it'll work for the net.
Copy that. Thank you very much. Any BDZ standing by.
N8WRO.
All stations, this is November 8th, Victor Delta Zulu. The Macomb County ARPSC net will start in 5 minutes. Please stand by. November 8th. Call stations. Thursday at 7 p.m. on this frequency, except the third Thursday during our monthly ARPSC in-person meeting. Don't forget to follow us, follow along online at ARPSC.org and click on Nets tab by choosing Weekly Nets. Please note that during this net, emergency traffic may break in at any time. Our backup frequencies are as follows. The backup repeater is 442.600 MHz with a 123 Hz tone and a plus 5 MHz offset. Our backup simplex is 146.580. Is there a station that would take over as net control if for some reason this station should not be able to transmit?
KE8WUO.
Net Control recognizes KE8WUO John. Thank you, John, for being backup for our net. The ARPSC net is a directed net. All stations are welcome to check in. Stations outside Macomb County will be invited to check in after the Macomb County members have checked in. When checking in, please say, "This is," then unkey for doubles. If clear, repeat "This is," followed by your unit number, if you have one, followed by your name and your call sign. Only specify if you have traffic or announcements followed by your call sign phonetically. After everyone has checked in, we will go back through the list for those who have traffic and announcements. This is WA8MAC. My name is Mike. Net Control for Macomb County's ARPSC Weekly Net. Are there any mobiles, short-timers, or in-and-out stations wishing to check in? Please check in now. Wait, stand by for just a moment. Stand by, everyone. All right, sorry about that. All right, so back to where we were. Are there any mobiles, short-timers, in-and-out stations wishing to check in? Please check in now.
This is Whiskey Sierra 6 Oscar Mike.
Cool. Yep. For the net, in-and-out. Whiskey Sierra Oscar.
In-and-out.
This is Unit 27, Brian. November 8th, Bravo, Zulu, Romeo. No traffic. Over.
Net Control, this is Unit 26, Cliff.
In and out. November 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot.
This is Unit 32, KF8, FGS, in the mobile. We're in and out.
This is number 6, November 8, Whiskey Charlie Bravo. November 8, Whiskey Charlie Bravo.
All right, I will recognize N8WCB, Dave. Dave, you didn't say whether you're short-timer or in-and-out or mobile or what you are.
Net control, N8WCB, in-and-out.
Copy that. Thanks, Dave. We also have KF8FGS. David, N8CAF, Cliff, both in and out. N8BZR, Brian, you also didn't state whether you're mobile, in and out, or something else.
Yeah, Mike, I'm mobile, over.
Copy that, got you in the log, we'll come right back to you. W8VOX. John, in and out, and the first one there that we got was WS6OM, but I don't think that's right. Let's try that again. If I didn't call on you, and you're an in and out or a mobile, come on back to me.
This is Whiskey Sierra 6 Oscar. Mike, in and out.
It is Whiskey Charlie. Echo Mobile. Jeff, in and out.
This is Unit 43, Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Uniform Hotel. And I'll be in and out, no traffic.
All right, we got you now, Michael, WS6O, and we also picked up WC8E and KE8RUH. All you fellows said you were in and out, so be safe, try to stay cool, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for checking in, gentlemen. Location starting from 8 Mile and going all the way through up to Boardman Road, which is the county line. Station is located between 8 Mile and 12 Mile. Please check in now.
It is number 18, Whiskey Alpha 4, Mike Lima Delta. Great.
Number 35, Alpha Delta 8, Mike Papa.
Unit 38, Jason, November 8, Kilo Julia Victor.
This is Unit number 19, Kilo 8, Whiskey Alpha, Bill.
All right, net control recognizes K8WA, Bill, N8KJV, Jason, AD8MP, David, and W4MLB, Ray. Welcome to the net, gentlemen. This is Net Control Station WA8MAC calling for stations located between 12 Mile Road and 16 Mile Road in Macomb County. Stations between 12 Mile and 16 Mile, please check in now.
This is Unit 25, Don, November 8, Kilo, November, Sierra.
Set Control recognizes N8KNS. Don, welcome to the net, Don. November 8, Victor Delta Zulu as WA8MAC, now calling for stations located between 16 Mile and 20 Mile. Stations between 16 Mile and 20 Mile in Macomb County, please check in now.
This is Unit 12. November 8, Hotel, Lima, Yankee, Tom.
Control recognizes N8HLY. Welcome to the net, Tom. This is Net Control Station WA8MAC. 20 Mile and 26 Mile. Stations between 20 Mile and 26 Mile in Macomb County, please check in now.
This is.
Number 9, WA Victor Delta, Wally.
This is Unit 46, ARC. Kilo 8, Alpha Charlie Whiskey.
This is Unit 15, November 8, Hotel Alpha Papa.
Net Control recognizes N8HAP Joe, K8ACW Art, and W8VD Wally, welcome to the net, gentlemen. This is Net Control Station M8VDZ as WA8MAC calling for stations located between 26 Mile and Boardman Road. Stations between 26 Mile and Boardman Road in Macomb County, please check in now.
This is Unit Number 10, November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, NAWRO, Tim in Richmond, with traffic.
This is Unit 14, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, Tom, no traffic.
Net Control recognizes Tom and N8WRO, Tim. Welcome to the net, gentlemen. This is Net Control Station WA8MAC, and I will now take check-ins from outside Macomb County. Stations located in counties other than Macomb, please state your call sign phonetically, followed by your name and your county, and whether you have any traffic or announcements. Stations outside Macomb County, check in now.
Net Control. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
This is KFA VIC Kilo Foxtrot 8 Delta Radio Charlie. No traffic.
This
This is Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet, Rick, Oakland County, no traffic.
All right, this is Net Control Station. NHVDC has WA8MAC, and I recognize KE8WOJ, Rick, KF8DRC, Jack, and KF8ETQ, Darren. Welcome to the net, gentlemen. I will give you the question now, in case you want to think about it a little or re-remember stuff or whatever you need to do. The question that I'm asking tonight is, it's about coax. What is your, do you have a favorite brand or manufacturer of coax to use for UHF, VHF, or HF? Do you kind of have a go-to for your coax, or do you simply look at price and buy what's cheapest, or what do you do? What do you do? So there's our question out there. And I will start, before we get to that, I will start with my announcements. Dave is put in some extra hours tonight, so he sends his greetings. Being part of the team and all. And the announcement that I have to make is, we have the Auxcom training coming up. If you have not signed up, you should do so. Get on the list. There's only so many seats available. I honestly have no idea where it's at seat-wise, but my understanding is we're going to start opening it up to anyone. So if you want to make sure you've got a spot for that, you should get that. That is all I have for announcements right now. And I'm going to make my coax comment after everybody. So I will go to our other person with announcements tonight, and that is Tim, our personnel manager. NHWRO. Jim, microphone is yours. Go ahead and give your announcement, and then go ahead and answer the question.
Well, thank you, Mike. This is NHWRO, and I got a reminder from the boss and from my area as well to all pre-level one members. We've got a lot of members coming up on 6 months, and just remember, it is required to get your level one prior to the 6 month it's a deadline. And you'll see inside the system, there's a little, I call it a gas gauge. And there's a, all right, let me switch over. I'm hearing my signal's not good. Stand by, please, NHWRO.
Hey, Tim, you, not sure if you finished your message. You want to go again just to make sure that you got out?
Yeah, Mike, I'm switching over to the Mecca. How's this? NAWRO. All right, everyone, stand by here. We're working something out. NAWRO.
Hey, well, Tim, just so you know, you're coming through just fine. It's Mike is not coming through very well in 8HAP.
NHVDZ, how am I reading?
All right, Mike, I got you coming in on the 7.2 readable. I'll copy me.
All right, I'm not sure what happened there. John, stand by just in case. I got you on Discord here, too.
if something happens again, we might just let you take over, my friend, because I don't want to kill the net, and I don't want to make people go, oh my God, what's going on? So, did you finish your announcement, Tim?
Negative, Mike. With your permission, I'll go ahead. I just started.
Yes, please go ahead.
All right, this is NAWRO with an announcement. Reminder to all pre-level ones that haven't gotten their level one yet, keep an eye on your level one meter on the website. Unless you have a prior arrangement to reach with either Mike or Dave, you got 6 months to get that level one, so please work on that. We need photos for those people that do not have photos on file. I sent out an email, so please email your photos to me. They don't have to be perfect, but generally speaking, kind of like what's used for passports. Break for time. Email address you can use is in the message I sent you guys, but you can also use personnel@macombarps.org. I say again, personnel@macombarps.org in order to send your photos to me. Dave will be using those for IDs, and of course we'll get them on the website. And break for time once more, and I will give my answer on the coax here. So, Mike, at the shack, currently I use RG8, and it's a MPD digital 400, so it's kind of like an LMR 400 look-alike. It is made in the U.S. It's pretty good, but it's not quite up to the quality of Times Microwave or Messian Paoloni. I don't never know how to say that word. So when I do my upgrades, I do want to go up to one of the better versions. Yeah, I think coax quality is pretty important. That's all I got. November 8, Whiskey, Romeo, Oscar. Back over to you, Mike. Thanks.
All right, thanks. And tonight we're going to go backwards on our list. We're going to start from the bottom. Why? Because I can. So we'll start with Rick. W-O-J. Rick, what... do you have a favorite coax brand that you like to use for your shack?
KEAWOJ. I've been buying KMR 400, Chinese copy. You know, if anybody makes something decent to Chinese copy, I've been getting it off Amazon at a pretty good price. It's not complete. It's not equal to LMR 400, but it's fairly close, and quite a bit cheaper. So I've been using that for quite a while now. KEWOJ, back to you.
Rick, hey, I just realized. Oops, I'm sorry. You're mobile, and I should have gone to you first. My apologies. You're up, Brian.
I have Times Microwave 400R, U400R. I have some of that. That's all I have for coax. I believe that coax is very important and more important than the antenna. You got to have good coax. And fortunately, I only have a short length or a short piece of 25 feet of it. So I don't have much loss in coax at all, and that's what I'm using. NABZR, back to you.
All right, thanks, Brian. And let's move back to where we were, to Jack. KF8DRC, Jack, do you have preference to your coax?
This is KF8DRC. I really prefer LMR 400, LMR 240,
used on several occasions. All right, let's move to Darren, KF8. ETQ, Darren, do you have any brand of coax that you prefer and why?
Good question. Not properly have a brand that I prefer and why, but I just realized that there's a M-O-O-K-E-E-R-F, some Chinese knockoff brand, and it seems okay from the limited times I've used it, so that's all back to you guys. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Alright, thanks, Darren. And, you know, some of those offers seem to work pretty well, and some of them, oh my gosh, you will not be happy if you get them. So careful when you're buying that stuff. Alright, let's go to Cujo, KCHKJO, Tom. Do you have any favorite brand of coax do you use and why?
Hello, all. I use the Amazon special of the LMR 400, and it's strictly just upstairs for my Yagi that's in the attic, so I really have no preference right now. Eventually, I'll upgrade when time is needed or when it is needed. Back to Nut, KC8KJO.
All right, thanks, Tom. And yeah, for short distances, you know, you can use a lot of different stuff. So cool. All right, so let's move to Joe, NHAP. Joe, do you have any favorite brand of coax that you like to use?
Yeah, good evening, Mike, and everyone on the net tonight. I prefer whatever's cheapest, I guess, is the answer for me. I just picked up some RG213, 300 feet of that, for, I think, $175 down at Dayton. So, don't really have a preference. You know, I know everyone talks up the Messier and Pelosi, super expensive coax, but that's not how I roll. Whatever works and isn't too expensive. So, I guess that's my answer. Back to Net Control, NHAP.
All right, yep, and Joe, whatever works for you is what's the right thing to do. As long as you're not hurting your equipment and as long as you're getting out, all is good, right? All right. Art, KA8KCW, do you have any favorite brand of coax that you use and why?
I do. I use Times Microwave LMR 400. I did some testing with it and found that during the repeater crawl, I could hit and hold repeaters that I couldn't with 8X that I had on before that, Mike. Back to Net, Kilo 8 Alpha, Charlie Whiskey.
All right, yep, and I played that same game. Noticed, you know, with the repeater crawl, found out that it is really true that loss is really a thing. So, yep. All right, let's move to Wally. W8VD. Wally, do you have a favorite coax that you like to use and why?
Thanks to everyone on the net. I do, and I'm going to have to admit this. I use the same TV stuff that other members have mentioned, the KMR 400, got about 75 foot of it running to my office, to my antenna, gutter antenna. It works pretty good. I was lucky. It sleeps pretty good. I mean, I don't think it's as good as the real stuff, but for VHF, UHF, and a little stick that's about 4 foot tall, I think it works real good. Also, I'd like to make an announcement, if you don't mind, Mike, W8BD.
Yeah, go ahead, Wally. Absolutely.
Okay, don't forget, this Sunday, 8:30, is our bi-monthly luncheon at the Main Street Grill in New Haven. starts at 8:30. It usually has a pretty good turnout. But any radio geek is allowed to show up. Any computer geek is allowed to show up. It's kind of like, I call it a geek thing. So anybody that's into electronics and likes to tinker and things like that, all like-minded people, please show up. 8:30 this Sunday in New Haven. I believe that John has got it posted on the ARPSC website as well. Thanks for the time. Everyone have a great day, and we'll talk later. W8 Victor Delta.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Wally. I had actually let that fall off my radar, and I look forward to those. Those are good breakfasts, good food, and, the company's always great. All right, let's move on to Tom. And H-L-Y, Tom, do you have any favorite brand of coax that you like to use, and why?
This is an HLI foot in the group. I haven't really purchased much coax lately because I don't do much work because I'm limited here to what I can do. Last coax I purchased was manufactured by Messier and Paoloni because it was highly rated at Dayton a couple of years ago as very high quality, very low loss. And I bought it for specifically to be used with a repeater that I own, which at the moment is not working, and so it's still in the box. According to all the ratings and technical specifications, it's very good quality stuff, very low loss, very high quality. And that's the last I bought any kind of coax at all. The stuff I'm using here at home is RG8X, simply because I had it. Anything else I use is already attached to various mobile antennas that comes with it. I try to buy stuff that uses RG58AU just because of the standard semiconductor, but other than that, that's what I use. Back to that, it is LI.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay,
No, I don't have any particular. When I got into the hobby, I got what was available, what was recommended to me. I'm not sure what the brand is anymore. It's been up a lot of years, and it seems to be working well. So I'll turn it back over to Net Control, NA, ANS.
All right. Thanks, Don. Let's legal. This is November 8th. Victor Delta Zulu has WPA-7AC4D. Call County CSPSC Weekly Net. Let's move to Bill, K8WA. Bill, do you have a favorite coax that you use, and why?
In my mobile, in the car, I use the TimesWire LM400, and in the house, I just have an antenna I stick out the window, and it's a short run too, but it's whatever I had laying around the house. I'm not exactly sure who made it. I do have 150 feet of RG58. By Belden, and not knowing the question, I don't remember what the loss factor is for it, but I have a 10-watt dummy load that's flat all the way into the gigahertz range. It's 1.0 da-da-da, and very good. And if I want to evaluate a 50-watt radio for the output stage, I use that coax to knock the power down to where my 10 watt dummy load will work fine. And truth be told, at HF and 6 meters, 2 meters, I could probably take the dummy boat off, and the SWR wouldn't change much. So, that's my 2 cents tonight. Back to net control.
I'm going to step in for Mike here because the signal is a little iffy, and we just want to make sure he doesn't have any problems with his radio because something's gone fishy there. We'll send it over to Ray, WA4MLD. Ray, do you have a preferred coax manufacturer? Who is it and why?
Yeah, good evening, WA4LD here in the heart of Step 1. And, coax is crucial, of course. I prefer the RG8 or the LMR400 kind. My rule is use the best you can possibly afford. I have a line of about 100 feet that runs out to an outbuilding, where my antenna matching unit is located on an outbuilding, so that's held up very, very well for about 5 years, not no problems. But it's crucial that with the larger stuff, you can put your connectors on so much better. And having done that, then cover everything with a rubberized coating or tape, whatever you can get. Check it every once in a while and be sure there's no moisture getting in. That will your signal in a hurry. It's hard to get anything anymore that isn't offshore, but if you can, I would say do it, and it's also so much easier to put the connectors on the larger coax instead of them up properly, and that's absolutely crucial to the whole thing there. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, and it's worked for me. WA4MLD, stay cool.
Well, yeah, that's the name of the game this week, is trying to stay cool. And that sounds like you got a nice setup with the external building and all that, and then you got the high-quality coax and all that. So that's pretty nifty. So I guess I'm next on the list, but I did want to just point out to everybody that there's a pretty extensive spreadsheet and kind of breakdown of coax on the weekly net log page for this week's net. So it might be something that even people that aren't members or just people that are monitoring, it's kind of interesting because you can see all the different RG, you know, 8X, RG58, RG213, all the way to Messi and Pelosi, LMR 400, and you can see all the stats for everything. So it's kind of a nice view of it all. So definitely check that out if you get a chance. Again, that's MacombARPSC.org, and then the Net tab, and then the weekly log. For me, I like the ABR 400. No particular reason, but it seems to do well for me. It is a really good cable. It has real good low loss. It's like ABR's version of the LMR 400. And I kind of like ABR. They're good people. They are just a good manufacturer. But I think the Messi and Pelosi, by stats, has a nicer cable. So maybe next time I'll try that. Other than that, we will send it back to Mike to see if he can get in one last time to give his answer, because we are all looking forward to what he's got. So I'll send it over to N8VDZ.
All right, how do I reach Doug?
Not a whole lot better. If you want to give it a shot, that's up to you. it's not real good. That's readable. Seems better. I don't know how long it'll last, but give it a shot.
All right, yeah, I switched to, actually, I'm just on a handheld now. Something's going on. I think there's something wrong with the antenna. Got to get up there and look at it. So sorry about that, all this today, guys. Real quickly, I use predominantly Massey and Poloni. And it's that's how it's pronounced, Poloni. How do I know? Because I've been dealing with them for several years now, and a couple of times I actually called them out there in Italy, and they told me, they pronounce it Massey and Poloni. So there we go with that. Their loss is just, the best. And, they're low loss. And the thing I like best about them is their UltraFlex 13, which is, among their best for UHF, VHF. A little more expensive, but I can take their UltraFlex 13 and I can wrap it around a 1-inch dowel easily. The times 400 stuff, that is so hard to use because it's so stiff and so hard to bend. So that's kind of the reason that I use the Massey and Poloni stuff, and learned about it when I was starting to do repeater crawls a couple of years ago, and it really, really made a difference with my signal. Using bad coax, and you go, if you're going 80, 100 foot of coax, you're losing like
85% of your signal. So that's where we're at. I will send it back to you, John. Again, thanks for the takeover there, and sorry about the signal. NABDZ. Do you want me to close it out, John?
Sure. Yeah, might as well.
All right, this is Net Control Station N8VDC as W8MAC. And this will conclude tonight's session of the Macomb County ARPSC Net. Thank you for checking in, and we hope you will join us next Thursday evening for our live in-person meeting. We will not be here on the net, but we will be at the MISD building at 7 p.m., so maybe you'll join us there for that meeting. Please check the Macomb County ARPSC Facebook page and visit our site at macombarpsc.org. This is N8VDZ closing the net at, and I don't have a clock here, whatever time it is. I'm standing outside. Sorry, guys. And I will now return this repeater to regular amateur use. 73, everybody. November 8th, Victor Delta Zulu. I will be clear. There was a whole lot of doubling and echoing and stuff going on there. I didn't get any of that.
KCA, KJO, NABZR.
NABZR, KCA, KJO, where are you on? Are you on Mecca or on FBI?
Yeah, I'm on the FBI repeater right now. Hey, what radio are you using? You sound like $1 million, man. You sound so crystal clear, and you're louder and not over-modulated. You sound great. What radio are you on, over?
I am on my All-Star node. Let me change over to FBI. I'm currently on Mecca through All-Star. QSO FBI, KCA, KGO. Clear. NABZR, KCA, KGO on FBI 2.6.
Yeah, Tom, I thought you were on the road, and I thought I saw you were in the car. I really didn't even recognize you at first. You sounded so clear. I'm at All-Star Node. Man, that thing really does the trick. That thing sounds great. Over.
Yeah, I'm currently at the house on my All-Star Node through the DM1701. Earlier, I mean, I was getting some static on there here and there, and then I ended up going on the VoIP and talking through that.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, sound really good. Okay, just want to jump in there and tell you it sound good. I'm just getting home right now, so 73, we'll see you later. Any GDR, over.
All right, Brian, have a good night. Stay cool. Say hi to Vicky for me. And Rachel's still working on the whole truck thing in regards to what's going on with that in the dealership. 73 for now, KCQGO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
You. I will be your net control station for this activation of the Micon Skywarn net. This net is being activated at 1C38, which translates to 838 for all you non-military folk out there, from the National Weather Service office in White Lake. This net covers 17 counties under White Lake's warning responsibilities. The MiconNet is a controlled net utilizing the key station concept. The net control station for this network communicates with...
Good evening. We'll talk again. KFA DIC.